Even though she's married and doesn't live here anymore, my big sister Frances climbs the creaky stairs to the girls' floor, practically singing.
Tina, you're dead.
Ever since I was a kid, Frances has seemed to enjoy tormenting me. Once, she woke me up from a sound sleep by holding smelling salts under my nose. And when I was 11, she kicked my leg repeatedly while I read the four questions at our Paschal meal. The only thing stranger than my not wanting to get Frances in trouble for torturing me over bitter herbs and Heresith is the fact that my devoutly Catholic family even celebrates Passover. Dad insists on observing everything involving Jesus. The polished veneer of Frances's burgundy gown and cropped velvet blazer can't smooth out the bite in her attitude as she warns,
"Dad's asking where the hell you are."
"Why me? Magdalene and Rebecca aren't ready either." Her laugh is acid.
"Well, he hates you."
I push into the steamy girls' bathroom with a sudden stomach ache, wishing she wasn't right. He does seem to hate me.
"Please shut the door,"
sweet Rebecca says from the shower. While rolling my long hair in hot curlers, I kick the warped door shut.
"You better hurry up. Dad's pissed that we're late," I say to Rebecca.
The door swings back open, and Kate pops her head in.
"Hey, Tina, do you have a hair ribbon I can borrow?"
"I don't wear them anymore. I'm not into preppy."
"There's nothing wrong with preppy," she insists, looking as pretty and conservative as a Kennedy.
Magdalene rushes in, grabs Kate's wine glass. Chardonnay sloshes up the side as she eagerly tilts it toward her lips.
"Would someone please shut the darn door? It's freezing," Rebecca begs.
Magdalene peers through my pantyhose.
"Are those my lace underwear?"
She bumps me, pushing for center stage in our toothpaste-sprayed mirror.
"Give me a break. I wouldn't touch your disgusting underwear." "I swear to God, those better not be mine."
I give Magdalene the finger and walk out. Even though I admire her, we've always been competitive, probably since we are the two most athletic girls in our family. After sharing a bathroom with seven sisters for most of my 18 years, it should be easier now that the last of us is in college. But having so many back home for the holidays reminds me how sick and tired I am of sharing, except when I don't have clean underwear. Careful not to smudge my freshly painted fingernails, I throw on a nightie, walk down the creaky steps, and slip along the dark paneled second floor hallway, past the boys' bedrooms and the second floor bathroom. The sounds of Christmas Eve at 5 East Irving Street rise up from the first floor, a blender swirling, the gurgle of baby talk from my nephews and nieces, the hard laughter of my five brothers, all coated by Johnny Mathis's falsetto. The heavy mahogany door to my parents' room is open as I approach. A pile of unwrapped gifts and 13 empty stockings are strewn across the floor.
"Is that one of my lovely daughters?"
Mom calls out, her face lighting up as she sees me.
"Ah, there's my baby. Just in time to help your mother with this."
Mom nods at the diamond and emerald necklace next to her on the bed. I kiss her soft cheek and breathe in the familiar smell of perfume and hairspray. She is shaving a corn from her pinky toe with a straight razor blade. I glance at her purple ankles and calves, raw and veiny, and a lump forms in my throat.
"May I borrow a nail clipper?"
I ask, tamping down my emotion.
"Sure, sweetie, in my side drawer."
She gestures to the cluttered bedside table that is spilling over with ripped coupons, a spool of thread, scotch tape, and Christmas bows spread among her rosary beads, a worn Bible, and a can of diet soda.